From the Cole Porter musical Kiss Me Kate, that was Alfred Drake in the dual role of Fred Graham and Petruchio, and Where's the Life Late I Led, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And that has to do, of course, Kiss Me Kate, based on the Shakespeare play, The Taming of the Shrew, which will be the subject of the first portion of our program in just a moment. Coming up later, Singin' in the Rain is the musical adaptation of the musical film, I should say stage musical adaptation of the musical film, which is going to be put on by the students at Judah Christian High School in Champaign. And that opens on Thursday and continues through Saturday, and we'll have some of those students in with us for a live preview in our studio. So looking forward to that in about 20 minutes or so. But first, from Charleston Alley Theater, a number of actors and their director for their production of Shakespeare's romantic comedy, as it's billed, The Taming of the Shrew. That opens on Friday and continues with various performances through May 11th. And Charleston Alley Theater can be found at 718 Monroe Street in Charleston. The director for this production is Duke Bagger, who's been on the show a few times. And perhaps some of the others who are in here as well have been in here before. yes, a couple of them say, at least. In any event, Duke, thanks for bringing your crew up.
Oh, well, thank you so much for the opportunity. We really appreciate all of the support we get from you. Thank you.
Oh, well, we do what we can. I like to make sure we find out what's happening both musically and theatrically in as many communities in our listening area as possible. And we've been pleased that Charleston is close enough to Champaign-Urbana, where our studios are, that you don't mind making the drive, at least on occasion. So, billed here is a romantic comedy, but The Taming of the Shrew also, sometimes today, and apparently in its day, has a certain amount of controversy surrounding it.
That's one of the major challenges of doing this show. I kind of wanted to do it. We've wanted to do it for quite a few years, but we were never able to get the cast together to do it, the right people. Rachel Anderson has worked with us before, and then she left us for a while. And when she came back, I immediately wanted to cast her as Kate and do Taming of the Shrew. I want to keep it true to the 16th century, but on the other hand, pull it into the 21st century as well. So it's not quite the way that people may be expecting it to end. It is brought up in a way that the reality of the situation, even into the 1950s in the United States, women had a more passive way of getting their way of gaining control than an actual confrontational way of doing it. And that's how I'm trying to look at it in this respect as well, that Kate may not be able to come head on, but she has other ways of gaining her own influence.
Mm-hmm. Well, the controversy side of it, of course, is that begins with the title, I suppose. I mean, the notion that any woman should be called a shrew.
Any woman who's got any self-respect and stands up for herself is considered a shrew, yes. Yeah. And in the 16th century, she was. And even, like I say, into the 1950s, I remember women were considered, any uppity woman was considered an uppity woman. And girls went to university to find a husband and study home ec. They weren't there to become bankers or lawyers. And so, you know, it's an attitude that's not too far removed. And definitely at the time, these women were considered shrewish. On the other hand, look who was on the throne.
I don't recall
Elizabeth
who was
the
on
first.
The throne at the time.
Elizabeth I was on the throne at the time.
Yeah, well, that's ironic at the very least.
And Elizabeth was a rather, well, dynamic individual who had to do a great many things just to keep her head, let alone stay on the throne. So even in Shakespeare's time, it was a rather interesting way of presenting the entire thing. He had to be true to the culture, but then he also had to fudge a little bit.
Some question that, even then he might have been accused of sexism with the strength of some of the language.
Hard tiling. Yeah. It was all made for amusement. And as far as I know, nobody was supposed to take this thing seriously. It was supposed to be amusing.
That's what people do now, is they take some of these things seriously, which is how they were, not necessarily how they were intended. I was reading a synopsis of the whole play, and easily no more than halfway through, I got completely lost in what exactly was supposed to be happening. So, there's the romance and that there's three couples who eventually get married. And then there's the comedy, which I guess in part, I suppose it's Shakespearean. It's also Mozartian in that all these characters get – somebody is disguised as this person who gets disguised as that person. There's like a double disguises at one point or something like that. Is it possible for you to tell us very briefly what this play is actually about for those who don't know?
Well, it's actually about how people wind up mating, I guess. There are all these different suitors who want to wed Bianca, and playing one of them, Grimio, who is supposed to be an old man, and so naturally I fit the bill. And then there are two other younger suitors. One of whom winds up winning her hand from her father. Unfortunately, the person the father thinks to whom he's betrothing his daughter actually is not. She is in disguise and is actually the servant to the person who actually winds up marrying Bianca. The other young suitor winds up marrying a widow who has been chasing him, and Petruchio and Kate do ultimately wind up getting married in what apparently is one of the more bizarre wedding scenes that any world has ever known, right down to Petruchio throwing the sops from the wine in the face of the officiating priest. So it is a love story in a way, looking at it sideways with a tongue in your cheek and your fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a couple of scenes that we'd like for our audience to hear. Why don't you set up the first one?
The first one is between Bianca and Catherine, two sisters. Mm-hmm. And then the father comes in. The poor father, he's kind of like the Duke in Romeo and Juliet, trying to keep these two warring families apart. He has to deal with these two daughters who are at each other's throats, one very aggressive, Catherine, and one rather passive, Bianca, who is Daddy's favorite.
Well, and the idea, too, is that Catherine is the elder, and therefore nobody's allowed to marry the younger until
the older gets married.
Yeah. The shrew gets married off,
yes.
Please, to somebody.
And so this particular scene is between the two sisters, and it winds up in a fight where Daddy has to come and separate them.
All right. In the role of Catherine, or Kate, Rachel Anderson, in the role of Bianca, Leah Puzynski, and in the role of the dad, Baptista, Craig Banyai, from Charleston Alley Theater's production of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. Live in our studio, alive and local.
Good sister, wrong me not, nor wrong yourself, to make a bind maiden slave of me. Unbind my hands, and I'll put them off myself. Yea, all my raiment to my petticoat, or what will you command me will I do, so I know my duty to my elders.
Of all thy suitors, here I charge thee, tell whom thou lovest best, see thou dissemble not.
Believe me, sister, of all the men alive, I never yet beheld that special face, which I could fancy more than any other.
Minion, thou liest, is it not, Hortensio?
If you affect him. Sister, here I swear, I'll plead for you myself, but you shall have him.
Oh, then belike you fancy riches more. You will have Grimio to keep you fair.
Is it for him you do envy me so? Nay, then you jest, and now I will perceive. But you have jested with me all this while. I breathe thee, Sister Kate, untie my hands.
If that be jesting, all the rest was so.
Ah!
Oh, why, how now, dame? Whence grows this insolence? Bianca, stand aside. Poor girl, she weeps. Go ply thy needle. Meddle not with her. For shame, thou Hilding of a devilish spirit. Why dost thou wrong her that did near wrong thee? When did she cross thee with a bitter word?
Her silence flouts me, and I'll be revenged.
What, in my sight? Bianca, get thee in.
Wait, what, will you not suffer me? Nay, now I see, she is your treasure. She must have a husband, and I must dance barefoot on her wedding day. Talk not to me, I will go sit and weep till I can find occasion of revenge.
Was ever gentleman thus grieved as I?
Sibling rivalry taking to a different level. Rachel and Leah, I guess, in particular, is Shakespeare something you have played before?
I have done Twelfth Night before. So I've done one other Shakespeare.
With me, I've never done Shakespeare before. It took me a while to really get into the character and really figure out what I wanted to do with Bianca and how I wanted to play her. And
how did you go about that?
Well, I kind of thought about it in a way that she really wants to get married, and I think she's tried to convince her dad that she's ready and she wants to, but her sister, I think, is very jealous, and boys kind of like her more and kind of draw towards her, and yeah.
Yeah. What about dealing with the language if you've not done Shakespeare before? I would imagine that could be a challenge for anybody.
In most of the rehearsals, Duke can attest to this, that I would go really, really, I would get really nervous and not know how to portray the words as much as I could, and I would flub it up and go really fast, and he would tell me to slow down and just relax, and that's what I was really worried about, was the language and everything like that.
And for yourself, Rachel, having done one other Shakespeare play, is it something that came back to you easily, or was it just as hard the first time or second time around, assuming it was hard the first time?
Well, it was hard. It's hard both times, yeah. Well, I mean, reading it, like the first read that you have just sitting around the room, it's just awful. It's just absolutely terrible. Trying to get it, trying to understand the iambic pentameter of the whole play. Mm-hmm. But really, if you just sit and read over and over, and like once you get with the other people, it gets a lot easier. You start actually understanding what you're saying instead of just reading the lines. And once you get to that point, then, you know, just like any other acting, mm-hmm. you understand what you're saying, so you could just say it. The only thing is, if you mess the lines up during a live show, it's really hard to pull yourself out of that.
Yes.
I mean, it's really hard.
Yes.
And the other actors don't like
you. Yeah, you can't just make up words. You can't just be like, that one, this. And...
Yeah, I would imagine unless you really internalize the language to make it feel as natural as possible, mm-hmm. and then know what you can substitute if you forget a line.
It's hard to be extemporaneous in 16th century iambic pentameter.
Yeah. And I actually, in one of the other scenes, I have to speak in Latin. And that took me a little while longer to learn because Duke was trying to teach me the proper way to say it and everything like that. And I was like, I don't do Latin. I'm not a Latin type person, but...
Well, now you have to be.
At least
the actor side of you.
Well, I also told her that she's the student. So if she mispronounces it, that's okay. She's the student. She's just learning. So
in that context, she's...
In that context, it's not disastrous if she mispronounces it.
Duke, you said that you're trying to... You're leaving the play set in the 16th century, but bring a contemporary sensibility to it. What's the trick about doing that from the director's point of view?
When Catherine is Catherine, she's doing fine. She ultimately winds up having to realize the coming head on isn't working, because in the 16th century, women didn't have the kind of power where she could actually be that assertive say what she meant and be that assertive. And when her father marries her off, as she has very little say about it, She just has to accept the reality of the situation and realize that if she's going to be assertive, she has to do it in a little different way. That she has to find some other way of getting it, because Petruchio deprives her of sleep, food, of water, of all family. These different things, family, of everything, until she
complies
with what he demands. And she realizes the only way that she can she can have any say in what happens in her life is if she at least gives the pretense that she is
accepting
her role as his wife. And so that's why in the last speech, I want her to be using a different kind of attitude than just subservience, because she realizes that coming head on isn't getting her anywhere. The society is just too much against her coming head on. That she has to work subrosa. She has to be cleverer about it. She has to use feminine wiles. She has to use other means of subversion to have her point get across, to be able to live comfortably.
So her intention is, therefore, apparently to get what she wants, just by other means.
By other means.
Yep.
Yeah. Head-on doesn't always work. And, you know, in a great many situations, head-on doesn't always work. Sometimes one needs to be either more diplomatic or a little obsequious.
And that's got nothing to do with whether you're a man or a woman.
True.
In fact.
Absolutely. I mean, if you have an overbearing boss and you have a way of doing things, there are ways that you can present your point of view that doesn't challenge the boss's authority and makes it look like it's the boss's idea.
Yeah. We have cast members and director, who is also a cast member of Charles Sinelli Theater's production of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew, which opens on Friday. And I believe we have one more scene. Let's set this one up.
Well, this is the first time that Petruchio and Catherine meet.
I hate him. Pretty much.
She has, you know,
sight unseen.
Yeah, I just hate him.
So far, her father has set the dowry and done everything except the wedding date. And she's just been told to go out and meet your betrothed. Yeah. So she is rather at odds. He is deciding he's going to deal with her.
Yeah, because as far as my character is concerned, he cares mostly about the dowry, the money, and that's about it.
And it's Kyle Probst in the role of Petruchio, and once again, Rachel Anderson as Catherine.
Good morrow, Kate. For that is your name, I hear.
Well, have you heard but something hard of hearing? They call me Catherine, that to talk of me.
Oh, you lie in faith, for you are called Plain Kate and, Plainy Kate. Kate. The prettiest Kate in Christendom. Kate of Kate Hall, my super dainty Kate, for dainties are all Kates. And therefore, Kate, take this of me, Kate, of my consolation, hearing thy mildness praised in every town, thy virtue spoke of, and thy beauty sounded, yet not so deeply as to thee belongs, myself am moved to woo thee for my wife.
Moved? In good time. Let him that removed you hither remove you hence. I knew you at the first. You were a movable.
Why, what's a movable?
A joint stool.
Well, thou hast hit it. Come sit on me.
Asses are made to bear, and so are you.
Oh, but women are made to bear, and so are you.
No such jade as you, if me you mean.
Alas, good Kate, I will not burden thee, for knowing thee to be but young and light.
Too light for such a swain as you to catch, yet as heavy as my weight should be.
Oh, come, come, you wasp. In faith, you are too angry.
If I be waspish, best beware my sting.
My remedy then is to pluck it out.
Aye, if the fool could find it where it lies.
Who knows not where a wasp does wear his sting? In his tail.
In his tongue.
Whose tongue?
Yours, if you talk of tails, so farewell.
What? With my tongue and your tail? Nay, come again, good Kate. I am a gentleman.
That I'll try. Smack.
I swear, I'll cuff you if you strike again.
So you may lose your arms. If you strike me, you are no gentleman. And if no gentleman, then no arms.
A herald, Kate? Oh, put me in thy books.
What is your crest? A coxcomb?
A combless cock, so Kate will be my hen.
No cock of mine. You crow too much like a craven.
Hey, come, Kate, come. You must not look so sour.
It is in my fashion when I see a crab.
Why, here's no crab, and therefore look not sour.
There is.
Then show it me.
Had I a glass, I would.
What, you mean my face?
Well aimed for such a young one.
Now, by St. George, I am too young for you.
Yet you are withered.
Tis with cares.
I care not.
Nay, hear you, Kate, in sooth you scape not so.
I'd chafe you if I tarry. Let me go.
No, not a whit. I find you passing gentle. 'Twas told me you were rough and coy and sullen, and now I find report a very liar. For thou art pleasant, gamesome, passing courteous, but slow in speech, yet sweet as springtime flowers. Thou canst not frown, thou canst not look askance, nor bite the lip as angry wenches will. Nor hast thou pleasure to be cross in talk. But thou, with mildness, entertainest thy wooers with gentle conference, soft and affable. Why doth the world report that Kate doth limp? Oh, slanderous world! Kate, like the hazel twig, is straight and slender, and as brown in hue as hazelnuts, and sweeter than the kernels. Oh, let me see thee walk. Thou dost not halt.
Go, fool, who thou keepest command?
Did ever Diane so become a grove as Kate this chamber with her princely gait? Oh, be thou Diane, and let her be Kate, and then let Kate be chaste and Diane sportful.
Where did you study all this goodly speech?
Oh, it is extempore, from my mother's wit.
A witty mother! Witless else her son.
Well, am I not wise?
Yes, keep you warm.
Oh, marry, so I mean, sweet Catherine, in thy bed. And therefore, setting all this chat aside, thus in plain terms, your father hath consented that you shall be my wife, your dowry agreed on, and will you, nill you, I will marry you. Now, Kate, I am a husband for your turn. For by this light whereby I see thy beauty that doth make me like thee well, thou must be married to no man but me. For I am born to tame you, Kate, and bring you from a wild Kate to a Kate conformable as other household Kates.
And hence, the taming of the shrew.
And Shakespeare's use of double entendre is absolutely intentional. Mm-hmm. He was a randy sort of fellow. The double entendre used in that particular scene was very obvious to his audience at the time, as we're trying to play it in our play as well. Similar to the letter scene in Twelfth Night, that famous scene that is, you'd lose your FCC license if I did that particular scene. It's obviously quite randy. And so Shakespeare meant absolutely every double entendre that his audience took from it.
And you can enjoy that one, and I'm sure many others, in the Taming of the Shrew production by Charleston Alley Theater in, of course, Charleston, Illinois. The show opens on Friday with evening shows Friday through Monday this week and next weekend, so the 9th through the 12th as well, and Sunday matinees at 2 o'clock. So the evening shows starting at 7, the matinees starting at 2 on Sundays, and the theater box office is at 217-345-2287. That's 217-345-2287. Duke Bagger is director, and we have with us in the studio as Petruchio, Kyle Probst as Catherine or Kate, Rachel Anderson as Bianca, Leah Pazinski, and as their father, Baptista, Craig Banyai. Thank you all very much for coming on the show today, and break a leg, they say. So,
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Stay tuned for another live preview of a very different kind of show, the musical Singing at the Rain from Judah Christian School in Charleston. In Champaign. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Programs are made possible with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois.
Even now and then, than ever marry one of them, I'd rest a virgin rather, for husbands are a that mother had to marry father. But I hate men. Of all the types I've ever met within our democracy, I hate the most the athlete with his manner bold and brassy. He may have hair upon his chest, but sister, so has Lassie.
Boston or Baltimore, a chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show, another job that you hoped at last will make your future forget your past. Another pain where the ulcers grow, another opening of another show. 4 weeks you rehearse and rehearse, 3 weeks and it couldn't be worse. 1 week, will it ever be right? Then out of the hat, big first night, the overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
Another opening, another show. In Philly, Boston, or Baltimore, a chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show. Another job that you hope at last will make your future forget your past. Another pain where the ulcers grow. Another opening of another show. 4 weeks you'll rehearse and rehearse. 3 weeks and it couldn't be worse. But we will never be right. Then out of the hat is that big first night. The overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's turn from time and away we go. Another opening.
So those are a couple of more excerpts from the original Broadway production of Kiss Me, Kate, with music by Cole Porter and lyrics as well. We heard Patricia Morrison as Catherine and Lily Vanessi in her song I Hate Men. And then one of the show stoppers, another open in another show, heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our next segment comes from Judah Christian High School in Champaign, and they're putting on the stage version of the very well-known movie musical Singin' in the Rain. The movie from 1952, I think, and the musical originating in 1983. There's been one or two revisions since, and I'm very pleased to welcome four of the cast members and a pianist whose role, I don't know, Timothy Renner's been on the show many times. Are you merely a pianist for this? Are you officially involved in the capacity of Judah Christian?
I've been working with the singing from Singing in the Rain all semester, so I would be titled as the vocal director.
You are the vocal director. Yes. And then the stage director, who's also, I assume, the drama teacher at Judah would be Angela Markham. And she's not with us for this conversation, but she has sent her son as and
her, and his, her regards
and his three colleagues. So we have Cameron Cornell in the role of Don Lockwood. That's the Gene Kelly character.
Yes,
right?
That is.
From the film, of course. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Seldon, played by Leslie Chambers. And yours was played by whom in the...
Debbie Reynolds.
Yours was a Debbie Reynolds character. I get some of the characters mixed up. Cosmo Brown, played by Eli Peacher. And that was the...
Donald O'Connor,
yeah. And as Lena Lamont, Jenna Conway. Who was your actor, your corresponding actress?
Gene Hagen.
That was Gene Hagen. She's the only one who actually got an acting award for this, I think.
Oh, really?
From the original movie, if I recall. Yeah, how about that? A little bit of trivia. Things you can pick up from Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
So can anybody speak for Ms. Markham at all in how this play got chosen?
Well, this show... is just such a big smash of a show. Everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. And so for the first, this is my mom's first year as drama teacher at Judah. And she really wanted to just make sure that people realize that Judah Christian, while it is a small school, we can put on productions that are quite incredible. And that's what we've been going for. We've been going for excellence. We've been going for breaking records, for showing that Judah Christian, just because it's a small Christian school, doesn't mean that we just put on small little productions.
Well, it was interesting to me in seeing that Singing in the Rain was the choice compared to other shows, high school productions that I've seen advertised and that we've had features on here in the show, is an old school musical. In fact, it's an old musical, whereas so many that high schools seem to put on, for the most part, seem to be newer ones, more contemporary. And so I'm curious from the four of you, how you've whether it strikes you as old school or whether it's something that you gravitate to pretty easily.
Yeah, this is definitely more of an old school musical, which is really interesting for us because we get to learn more about that time period, and it's been a really good learning opportunity. It's been fun to do this musical through that. So definitely been new, something very different, but we've enjoyed it for sure.
Did you all know the film beforehand?
Yeah,
a little bit.
And also Ms. M, as we call her, showed the movie in class and showed just kind of a feeling of what the show is going to be about, the stylized version of it, just bringing back that 1920s feel of the original silent films. In fact, we're doing real silent films, very classically done by Kevin McGuire. He has done an incredible job making these film scenes for us, reenactments of the old-fashioned silent film.
And the setting of the film Singing in the Rain, and therefore the play Singing in the Rain, was at the time that silent films were transitioning to talkies, just in the history of,
that's right,
of things here.
Yeah.
So that is essentially the time setting of the play. As far as you know, the musical adheres pretty closely to, I mean, the stage version adheres pretty closely to the film version, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. There are a couple changes, like they add a song for Lena Lamont. Of course, she's the one with the really crazy high-pitched voice in the movie. And she doesn't have a song, but in the musical she does. And there are a couple other little changes, but it's very close.
Yeah, it's hard to have any more a star of a musical who doesn't have a song. Mm-hmm. So we just can't have that go on.
No, we can't.
Well, we're going to have a song first with the characters of Don Lockwood and Cosmo Brown, played by Cameron Cornell and Eli Peacher, respectively. It's called Fit as a Fiddle. Set this song up for us. What's gone on to lead into this?
Well, this song starts off with Cosmo Brown and I, Don Lockwood, coming into the Grauman's Chinese Theater, where we are about to premiere the show The Royal Rascal, a star that Lena Lamont and I star in. And Cosmo Brown and I are talking about how we got started in the movie business. And this song, Fit as a Fiddle, is just a kind of flashback to how things used to be when Don Lockwood and Cosmo Brown were actually in vaudeville together. And so they performed, it's a very energetic, acrobatic song. In fact, we do a couple rolls and cartwheels off of each other, carrying each other. It's a lot of fun.
And isn't that the setting where all the stars put their stars now?
I think something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's an aside. From Judah Christian High School's production of Singing in the Rain, which is opening on Thursday, it's live on Live and Local.
Fit as a fiddle, ready for love. I could jump over the moon up above. Fit as a fiddle and ready for love. Having a worry, having a care. Feel like a feather that's floating on air. Fit as a fiddle and ready for love. Soon the church bells will be ringing, and we'll march with Ma and Pa. How the church bells will be ringing, with a hey, nonny, nonny, and a ha-cha-cha. Hi, little biddle, my baby's okay. Ask me a riddle, and what does she say? Fit as a fiddle and ready for love.
And that's that with Cameron Cornell and Eli Peacher and Timothy Renner at the keyboard. The two actors, of course, who originated these roles in the original film, Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor, already extremely well known as dancers. And, of course, dance figures pretty prominently in the film. And I assume the stage musical. I say this because I've not seen the stage musical, but since
yeah,
it's so much
for sure.
The same. How's your dancing, guys?
Well, I actually started taking a tap class this year so that I could learn enough for this show. And we've had a choreographer from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. She has worked with them and taught some dance classes there. So she, Evan Lehman, she's a college student at the U of I. She is very, very talented and has put a very rigorous choreography before us and taught it to us. And it's been a lot of fun.
Eli, what about yours? Are you now a tap dancer?
Sure, not really. But I have the moves that I need to have down, so it's good enough, I guess.
Is there an attempt made to reproduce somehow or another some of the iconic scenes in there? For example, the one where you're literally dancing off the walls?
Yeah. Alfred, I'm not going to do a backflip.
You're not.
I practiced a couple times to do one, but I didn't have, like, you know, the ability to get one down in time.
Without ending up in the hospital?
Yeah,
we were very cautious.
Yeah, so just, yeah, I don't get a dance off the walls. But I do get a walk on the piano like he does, so that's fun.
As I understand, on the stage, I actually do try to reproduce a rain shower. Does that happen as well?
Yes, we do. The song Singing in the Rain, which we'll hear later, we are doing full rain. I get wet on stage. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tap dancing in it, and they're actually putting it up right now, making sure it's all installed, and they're testing it out. It's a great thing.
And who gets to clean up?
Well, that job, I believe, is going to be going to our stage crew. I love them. They are amazing. So,
we didn't – I usually ask people to do this, and we didn't do it up front, but let's say there's somebody who hasn't seen either the film or the stage production. What – aside from the setting of the show, you know, taking place when it does between silence – silent films and talkies and so on. What's the gist of the story of Singing in the Rain?
It starts out with two stars, Don Lockwood and Lena Lamont, and they're in silent films, and they're big stuff, big talents, very famous, America's darlings. And the problem comes when they switch over to talkies, and Lena Lamont has this very high chipmunk voice, and she can't make it. And they do a preview of their new movie, and it's a flop. So they need to find some way to save their movie, and that's where Kathy Seldon comes in.
Do you want to give us an example of why you don't go well on the talkies?
Oh, sure.
Go for it.
Okay. What's wrong with the way I talk? What's the big idea? Am I dumb or something?
Yeah. And the answer is...
There's a lot of eye rolls and silent nods.
Yep. Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually.
Thank you.
Does that hurt?
No.
To do that voice?
No. Okay. I'm doing it in my head voice, so it's all safe.
So I interrupted the plot.
Oh, the plot, yeah.
Yeah, please continue.
That's where Kathy Seldon comes in. She has a beautiful voice compared to Lena's, screech. And Cosmo Brown has the brilliant idea to have Kathy dub over Lena's voice in the movie. And that is how they save the picture. And that's not quite all of the story, so got to keep some of it under wraps.
Oh, of course. Well, how does that go over, though, with Lena?
Oh, she's furious.
Yeah, I would imagine so. There's a number of films, I think, that it's sort of like, with show business happening within show business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of those, so this is well in that tradition. We've got another tune that involves three of you. This is called Good Morning, another one of the better known ones, with Leslie as Kathy Seldon and Eli as Cosmo and Cameron, as Don Lockwood. Give us the setup for this one.
Well, the setup for this one is right when Cosmo and Kathy come up with the idea to save the picture by using Kathy and using her lovely voice. And so we're singing about what an amazing idea this is and how good of a morning it is now, because previously we had thought, oh, what a terrible thing, but now it's good. It's great.
From Singing in the Rain, Judah Christian High School's production here on Live and Local.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright.
Now the milkman's on his way, it's too late to say goodnight. So good morning, good morning, sunbeams will soon shine through. Good morning to you.
And you, and you, and you, good morning, we gap the whole night through. Good morning to
Nothing
you.
Nothing could be grander than to be in Louisiana. Might be just a zippy if we wasn't Mississippi.
When we left the movie show, the future wasn't bright. But came the dawn, the show goes on, and I don't want to say goodnight.
Well, say good morning.
Good morning.
Rainbows are shining through.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bonjour.
Monsieur.
Buenos dias.
Muchas frias.
Buongiorno.
A ritorno.
Good morgen.
Praktisch morgen. Good morning to you.
Eli Peacher, Leslie Chambers, and Cameron Cornell from Judah Christian High School, all students there in Champaign, with Timothy Renner at the keyboard here on Live and Local from Singing at the Rain. The show opens Thursday, continues Friday and Saturday. Evening performances at 7, and there's a Saturday matinee at 2 o'clock. And Judah Christian School, located on North Prospect Avenue in Champaign. What's the size of the cast? Indicated, trying to be sure that the folks in our area know that Judah Christian isn't just a small school, but it can put on big productions. So just how big are we talking here?
I believe there's 29 mm-hmm. in the cast. And it's the biggest cast that they've had for a show ever.
That sounds like a pretty big cast. It must be a kind of a significant percentage of students in the school.
Yeah, we have about 120 or so in the high school each year, so it's a good portion of our school, and we love it. We actually have our class as an elective period, so we have it sixth hour every day for 45 minutes. It's really been a neat semester with that.
As you can imagine, a lot of the students in the show are also involved in other things like band, and so very talented and being pulled in all directions, soccer, you know, other things like that. So they've worked very, very hard.
What is, will there be an orchestra for this or a keyboard accompaniment?
Sort of a very small orchestra. Basically, I'll be on the piano, and then we have a percussionist and some brass and woodwind.
So if so many who are probably doing double duty, it's pretty hard for them to be on stage and in the pit at the same time.
Yes, we have adults for that, for playing in the pit.
Oh, we do.
No,
okay.
Yes. That is not a student-run thing. Yeah.
No. And is that because of the difficulty of the score, or simply because those who play, for example, Eli, I know, plays trumpet, if all your instrumentalists are also singing, then they're not exactly available.
Yeah, that's part of it, I'm sure. I actually wasn't part of the planning process for the orchestra itself, but we have some very capable friends of the school who are willing to play, and so they decided to be a part of it.
We have a smaller band that's preparing for other shows, or another concert or performance presently, so it's like, it's not to add on to all of the people in it.
And by band in this case, you mean actual, you know, concert, the band.
Like the actual high school students band.
Yeah. And who's the director of that, by the way?
Robin Thomas.
Robin Thomas. Yeah, yeah. I knew that.
She's actually our director, our music director.
Yeah, she's playing trumpet in the pit.
Oh, she is for this. Okay.
As well as conducting. She's conducting. Very talented.
Yeah. So Angela Markham, then the stage director, who's also the drama director, and then Robin Thomas as the music director and vocal coach we have right here with us, Timothy Renner. We got one more song, by far the best song in the show, naturally, given that it's the title song. Cameron going to sing in the role of Don Lockwood. And since you've done a nice job of letting us know what's happening before all the other songs, you might as well introduce your own song.
Well, this song is right after Good Morning, when we've figured out all the issues. It's now a great morning, and I, as Don Lockwood has, I have taken Kathy Selden home, and it's such a sweet connection, and oh, my heart's so full that I can't help but singing about it. And the line that leads up to it, actually, do you want to say the line?
Oh, yeah. So I say, you're a big singing star now, remember? The California Dew is a little heavier than usual tonight. You got to take care of that throat of yours.
And I say, from where I'm standing, the sun is shining all over the place. And at this moment, the rain starts pouring down and the music cues up.
Of course.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain, ya-di-da, da-da-di-da. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain.
And this is where you come out all soaking wet, I assume.
I've been soaking wet this whole time.
Yeah, sure, the whole time.
Kicking an umbrella through and all that fun.
Singing in the Rain is the production from Judah Christian High School in Champaign. Opens Thursday, continues through Saturday, 7 p.m. performances each night. Saturday afternoon, there's a matinee. And how does one get tickets? Does one need tickets?
You do need tickets. We are not pre-selling tickets. But if you come to the door early, we're trying to sell out here. So come to the door early. Make sure you have a ticket. $10 for all adults, $7 for students, and $5 for children 12 and under.
Okay, so hoping for a whole full house at Judah Christian.
Oh, yes.
Many thanks to Cameron Cornell, Leslie Chambers, Eli Peacher, Jenna Conway, and Timothy Renner for joining us on the show today and giving us a live preview here in our studio. Hope it all goes well.
Thank you so much.
It's some great music, and pleased to have you here on the station. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days. I think today's Tuesday, isn't it? That means that the Dan Wendelken Sextet is playing jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. University of Illinois Philharmonia is playing at the Krannert Center in Urbana at 7:30. And U of I Jazz Combo Concert Jazz Combo Number 1 playing also at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. Eastern Illinois University's Concert Band is playing in Charleston tonight at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center at 7:30. Matt Stewart and Bob Watson are at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. It's the U of I Jazz Band, no particular number here, playing at the Krannert Center tomorrow night, 7:30. U of I Wind Orchestra at the Krannert Center tomorrow night at 7:30. The Illini Strings at the University of Illinois performing in Smith Memorial Hall in Urbana tomorrow evening, 7:30. The weekly traditional Irish music session is at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 8:30. Parkland Theater at Parkland College in Champaign continues its performances of Monty Python's Spamalot Thursday at 7:30 and continuing through the rest of the week, I believe. Millikan University's guitar ensembles will be performing Thursday evening at 6 o'clock in Kuiper Hall and the campus in Decatur. And it's a Krannert Uncorked show at the Krannert Center Thursday evening at 5 o'clock with Lauren Turk and friends. Lauren will be joining us on the show live on, I believe, on tomorrow's show. And Nathan and Julie Gunn and friends at the Krannert Center Thursday night at 7:30. Lots of other things going on in our area, but that's what we have time to mention right now. Our program today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visitors can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with Translator, W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's going to be cloudy tonight with a 40% chance of showers, the low 45 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy with a 30% chance of showers, and cooler, the high 55. Stay tuned for All Things Considered from NPR. For Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for listening.
Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My grandpa said go out and tell 'em a joke, but give it plenty of hope. Make 'em roar, make 'em scream. Take a fall, but a wall split a seam. You start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You wiggle till they're giggling all over the place. And then you get a great big custard pie in the face. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh.